So in my tradition, we have something that we call puja, which is worship. It means devotion, worship. And it's devotional texts that we can do in unison and in call and response. And because we are focusing on the fourth tetrad this afternoon, which really this volume up, speak up. It's a bit. Oh, sorry. So this whole weekend from Friday through to today has been looking at Dharma and identity, and liberation is letting go of identities, letting go of views of the world. Sometimes, you know, we're in a job that we just don't like, and we're miserable in this job, but we're so attached to our identity of being a banker, we don't leave. But if we were able to let go of that identity that I'm a banker and this is fixed, we would be able to leave. But it's the identity, that fixing of the identity, which keeps us stuck. And, you know, again, that teaching, there is no fixed self. Everything is always changing. And I thought that actually, rather than give a traditional talk of where I talk to you and you listen, is that you participate in my talk. And so I decided to focus on the four reminders. Some people know them as the four remembrances or the five remembrances. We, in my tradition, have the four reminders, which is this precious birth that we have. And our birth is precious because we have what is called these endowments. So one endowment we have is that we've been born at a time where Buddhism is alive. You know, we've been born at a time when we can hear the teachings. Some of us, because I don't know where all of you have been born, but some of us have been born in places where war hasn't been on our doorstep. You know, we haven't had to walk out and be afraid of war. So it's also said we have this endowments because we're born into the human form and into the human realm. And it's said that's the best place, the best realm to be in if we think of the wheel of life. You know, the God realm, the Deva realm, the Titan realm, the Hell realm, the Hungry Ghost realm. And it's said that the human realm is the best realm to be born in if we want liberation. And then we have the second reminder that death is unavoidable, it's inescapable. And we can think of this literally, but, you know, in a way, death is happening all around us. The late Stephen Levine, I remember reading his book, Who Dies, and he would say that an end of a relationship is a mini rehearsal for a death. An end of a meal is a mini rehearsal for a death. You know, sometimes I get to that last spoon and I'm so distressed. It's like I've been enjoying this meal so much and it's the last spoon that I'm going to put into my mouth. The third reminder, oh, actions have consequences, and I make that sigh because it's just so true, and sometimes I want to avoid it, that actions do have consequences. And that doesn't mean to say that those consequences are going to be negative, it just means that we do an action and something will arise, you know. Even our thoughts are an action, you know. If we keep on feeding negative thoughts, then more negative thoughts will arise. And then the last one is the ocean of samsara, the limitations of samsara. So in a way, I like this teaching because in a way, you know, we are in samsara. You know, samsara and nirvana is right here now. And, you know, there are things that we go for refuge to that keep us in samsara. And we go for refuge to certain things because they're helpful on a particular level. They're helpful, but they're limited. They're not going to give us liberation. You know, so in a way, for an example, some people go for refuge to the family, which is helpful, but it's limited. It's not going to give you liberation. So that's not saying that families are bad, because I think families is a fantastic place to practice. You know, fantastic place to practice. You talk to people who are parents about patience, you know, so a fantastic place. But to go for refuge, to put all your eggs in one basket, it's just, you know, you're going to fall flat on your face. And so what we're saying is that the refuges of the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha are far more reliable refuges. And remembering that samsara and nirvana is right here now. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to aim for. Those of you yesterday when I told you the story of the archer and everybody waiting for that bullseye, and you know that he pulls the bow and the arrow goes and it goes up into the air, and it's like, yeah, there's nothing to aim for. It's right here now. Liberation is right here now. We can have liberation in this moment now, you know. We really can. It really is possible to have liberation right now. So we're going to do a devotional practice that I've written around these reminders, and we're going to do it in call and response, okay? So I'll say a line and then you say a line. And notice, if you feel like you hear a line and you think, I don't want to say that, well, don't say it. Nobody's telling you to say it. Notice contraction. And, you know, you might hear a line and think, I don't believe that. That's great. Get curious about it. Because I think when we have this strong reaction, I don't believe it, it's very interesting what's going on, and to become curious about that, okay? So if you sit in your meditation practice posture, Namo Buddhaya. Namo Dhammaya. Namo Sanghaya.
Namo Sanghaya.
Namo Nama.
Namo Nama.
Hung.
Ah.
Hung. We reverence the Buddha. The perfectly enlightened one,
the perfectly enlightened
one, the shower of the way,
the shower of the way.
We reverence the Dharma,
we reverence
the teaching of the Buddha,
the teaching of the Buddha,
which leads from darkness to light,
which leads from darkness
to light. We reverence the Sangha,
we reverence the Sangha,
the fellowship of the Buddha's disciples, that inspires and guides. Our precious birth.
Our human birth.
Ordinary and extraordinary.
Our human birth.
Joyful and painful.
Our human birth,
healthy and unhealthy.
Healthy and
our human birth,
longevity and fleeting.
Our human birth.
Precious and worthless.
Precious and worthless.
Don't let our birth be worthless.
Don't let our birth be worthless.
Let's embrace this precious opportunity.
Let's embrace this precious opportunity.
How am I making the most of this precious life?
How am I making the most of this precious life?
Impermanence.
Impermanence.
I love you, and one day you and I will die.
I love you, and one day you and I will die.
We cannot escape it.
We cannot escape it.
Death comes to everyone.
Death comes to everyone.
Death is unavoidable.
Death is unavoidable.
It will come to all of us.
It will come to all of us.
Today.
Tomorrow,
next month,
next year.
Death is unavoidable.
Even I will die.
Even you will die.
Everyone we know will die.
Death is unavoidable.
We may die before our
parents. We may die before our children.
We may die before our
friends.
We may die before our loved ones.
We may die after our loved ones.
Death is unavoidable.
This is one of the few things we can guarantee in life.
During this next year, someone we know will die.
Or we will know of someone who knows someone who has died.
In 5 years, some of us may have even died.
Death is not a tragedy.
Dying of old age,
sickness,
and disease
is not a tragedy.
Somehow,
someway,
we will have to face the death of ourselves,
the death of loved ones,
the death of family,
the death of friends.
How we respond to death can be a tragedy.
Denial of death is a tragedy.
Blame is a tragedy.
Saying it's not fair is a tragedy.
As soon as we are born, we are old enough to die.
Death will come to all of us.
The fact is, we just do not know when.
The resistance to this uncertainty will cause us suffering.
The longer we live, the more we will see die.
In 20 years, more of us would have died.
And in 60 years, most of us would have died.
Never be too overjoyed when someone arrives.
Never be too saddened when someone leaves.
This can be a mini rehearsal for facing the inevitable.
An end of a beautiful meal.
An end of a beautiful holiday.
An end of a retreat.
An end of a relationship.
Are mini rehearsals for death.
The wise mourn and move swiftly on.
The wise mourn and move swiftly on.
Always hold lightly in your heart.
Always hold lightly in your heart.
That this may be the last time you see the people you are with now.
If you can live like this,
only loving kindness,
compassion,
sympathetic joy,
and
equanimity will flow from your heart.
Death is unavoidable,
and it will come to all of us.
Self-surrender.
What perfect conditions I've had today
to help me surrender
my negative mental states,
my views,
and aspects of myself.
Today is a good day to die.
Because I have faith.
Today is a good day to die.
Because I have energy.
Today is a good day to die.
Because I have mindfulness.
Today is a good day to die.
Because I have wisdom.
Today is a good day to die.
Because I have gone for refuge.
Spiritual rebirth.
In this present moment,
I emerge without name.
In this present moment,
I emerge without gender.
In this present moment,
I emerge without race.
In this present moment,
I emerge without class.
In this present moment,
I emerge without
color. I can now move into the next moment
with a lighter load.
I can now see how every thought
is a rebirth of the one before.
I vow to keep on spiritually dying
until my thoughts become dateless,
until my thoughts become emptiness.
Until my thoughts become trackless.
I have confidence
and trust
because many people have become enlightened,
and many more people will continue to do so.
They have done by letting go of their mental conditioning.
Of being described as female,
as male,
as trans,
as mother,
as father,
as wife,
as husband,
as partner,
as lover,
as carer,
as dutiful daughter,
as dutiful son,
as unable to attain enlightenment.
All their conditionings they have destroyed. and I can destroy them too.
As I enter the stream of
compassion, full of a Buddha mind,
full of Dharma
thoughts,
full of Sangha communication,
I will hearken to the cries of the suffering in the world.
Sadhu,
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 sadhu. And just sitting for a couple of minutes.